Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Sanjay Touré, another episode of Office Evolution Radio. And we're getting into the swing of things now. You having a good time learning about all these great businesses?
I am.
This is going to be a lot of fun. This is the final episode of the day here in the Dunwoody Office Evolution. And we're going to kick it off with Ed and Claire Steffen. And they are with Active Financial Group. Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
All right, Ed, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business?
Okay, I'm a certified financial planner with the Active Financial Group here in Sandy Springs. We also have an office in Marietta. Been in the business for 16 years, came up through the technology community in Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta for almost 30 years, and it's a job I'm passionate about, love to do it, and I'd like Claire to tell a little bit about how we got together.
Well, that's good, but I'm not ready for Claire yet, Ed. You're still on the hot seat. Tell us about the tech community. What were you doing in tech?
I worked in telecom for AT&T, Premier Technologies, and I eventually got recruited to join a small company, a startup in voice recognition, and had an equity position in the company. I was hoping to make a killing, but didn't happen. And that facilitated my career change into financial planning.
The pivot. So you're used to startup. That's a pivot is a common thing in the startup world.
Yes, it is. But a pivot's not so easy for somebody at that time in my career.
So now that you decided to get involved in financial services, like what drew you to that?
Claire and I had been investors for a long time. We did very well in the tech boom in the 90s, and it was easy. Everything was going up. Sun Microsystems, Cisco, Microsoft, even Home Depot. Every company you invested in did well, and all of a sudden 2001 hit. The tech bubble burst, and then 9/11, and all of a sudden a lot of the gains we had realized went away. And we spoke and said, there's got to be a better way. We need more knowledge. It was easy when it was easy, but we need to be prepared for when times are harder.
So let's bring Claire in. Claire, what were you doing before you got involved?
I spent most of my career in advertising. I was selling advertising in the B2B market, in the residential and commercial construction markets. And I had done that for 27 years and had a very successful career, enjoyed it immensely. But then when 2008 hit, the housing market tanked, and that was our whole company was tied completely to housing and construction. So
that's a lesson for your clients, right?
Diversify. Yes, diversification is very important, and fortunately the company did survive, and I survived, but it got to be such, you know, so many people were laid off, and I was fortunate to be able to stay, but that meant I was doing the job that four people had been doing previously, and it just became too much. I was traveling constantly, and, you know, Ed said, Claire, you don't need to do this anymore. We've set you up pretty well, so I was able to retire, but then shortly thereafter, he recruited me to come and join his business as a marketing and the face of the business, the networker, the person out in the community. So I've been doing that since 2011, and I enjoy it immensely. We change people's lives, and we have a great time working together.
So now, was that part of the conversation of working together? Was that going to be something you discussed? Is this a challenge? Should we do this, or is this something we get along, so this is easy?
Well, I think Ed said it in the back of his mind. He always was thinking once I retired, I would come to work with him. And I wasn't sure, you know, when you're married, you had a great marriage, but working together is a completely different ballgame. So we said, let's give it a try. If it works, great. If not, I'll step back, find something else to do. But it worked out beautifully. We have our own roles in the company. We're, you know, partners in at a firm, and it's worked so well because we complement each other, and we don't get on each other's nerves, and we have offices, separate offices, so we don't have to look at each other all day long.
So now, how do you kind of turn it off at the end of the day, or do you?
He probably turns it off better than I do. I'm always, because I'm always the creative person,
right,
the marketing
thinking,
person.
A new idea.
Yeah, so I'm always thinking what we can do and all that. But, you know, conversation-wise, we pretty much know. I don't say to him at 11 o'clock at night, hey, how about this?
Right.
So I just keep it to myself till the morning.
Not often.
Now, do you have a type of client that you typically work with? Do you specialize in certain groups? Because either one, go ahead, take a stab, whoever's the smarter one.
It's not that. No. We primarily work with baby boomers in the retirement market.
Okay, so these are people already that are close to retirement or are already retired?
They fall into the baby boom group. There are 10,000 people turning 65 every day and will be for the next 14 to 15 mm-hmm. years. So it's a fertile market. We are baby boomers. Those are the people we know and understand. We understand the issues. And that's kind of what we do.
Right, but a baby boomer, I would imagine, either has a financial advisor already, right?
A lot of them do, and a lot of them don't.
So do you find your clients that are moving from one financial advisor to you, or are they maybe do-it-yourselfers who say, you know what, this is too much, I'm going to work with somebody else?
That's a good question, because it's really a mixture of both. Part of Claire's position in the firm is to go out there and get us known. We do seminars, we do public speaking, we work at the local libraries. Mm-hmm. But we also, networking is a big part of it. And through the network and our existing clients, we get referrals, which is the best way to get business. But we're constantly working the market and trying to get our face visible.
Now, Claire, when you're working with people, or you're, you know, prospecting maybe is a better word, how do you get them to open up? Because money's a weird thing for a lot of people. They don't like to talk about it.
Yeah, money is a very personal and private thing. So right. it is a difficult thing to talk about. And when I first came over, Ed said to me, "Oh, you know so many people, you have so many clients, you know, I'm sure they'll all come with you." And I said, "Well, working with a person to doing their marketing and advertising strategy is a lot different than saying, how much money do you have? And
right, because
how can we help you?"
Now, isn't it true? Like there's people that you see and you go, "Oh, they must have a lot of money," and then maybe they don't have a lot of money. And there's other people you go, "Well, they probably don't have a lot of money." And they're like, they could have tons of money.
Absolutely. And it's a typical, you know, the millionaire next door type thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but a lot of the people who live modestly, have saved all their lives, have accumulated wealth. And the people who live in the big houses with the big fancy cars, have no savings. They have a great lifestyle, but they are going to be in big trouble when it comes time to retire.
So now, do you specialize in one of those groups or another? Are you kind of the millionaire next door kind of advisors, or it could be anybody?
Yeah, I think most people are the millionaire next door type that we work with, the people who have saved and get to us, you know, they regularly get money into their 401k, their IRA. They get to about 50 and they start thinking, you know, I've got this much money. I want to retire in 15 years. And how am I going to make this money work for me? So you've got to have assets for us to work with. You know, we're not magicians. People come to us and most people have done amazing jobs. I mean, people you wouldn't suspect, they've just put money aside and they've got to a point where they got, you know, $1 million that they've saved slowly over time. And it's a great position to be in. So we love working with those kind of people.
And then when you're working with them, is today's world a little different in terms of people tend to live longer maybe than their parents or that they thought that they might? And then people are retiring at different times maybe than they thought they might as well.
Absolutely. Just because of the improvements in healthcare and lifestyle, people are living much longer. And Claire's a great example of that.
She's really old? Is that what you're saying?
No, she's got longevity in her family. Uh-huh. And it really changes the way she looks at the world.
Right.
Whereas I do not have that longevity.
How you look at the world.
Absolutely. So we have different views on how we're going to use
But how does a person plan nowadays? Like, do you take that into effect? Okay, like my dad's 94, but my mom died at 75. You know, like, am I doing some of that math in my head about anticipating, well, maybe I'll live into my 80s or like?
Absolutely. We plan typically to age 95 or 100.
Oh, really? So yes, I bet you 20 years ago that wasn't the number they were using.
It wasn't the case at all. When Social Security was put into place in the 1930s, the life expectancy was 68 years old.
Wow.
And now it's a different picture now. And one of our primary jobs is to ensure our clients do not run out of money.
Is that everybody's biggest fear?
One of them?
It should be.
Now, when you're working with a person, how do you decide what kind of investments is right for the person? Are there assessments or ways that you can kind of tell what their comfort zone is for different types of investments?
Yes, there are lots of tools. What their tolerance for risk is what we look for most. And again, we bring in the longevity factor. We try to determine how can we position this person so they can sleep well at night and make their assets last as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And we've got a gamut of clients. We have clients from our old neighborhood who are demographically identical, same age, same income, same amount of kids. And some of them want to leave money to their kids. Some of them want to spend it all. They said, I put my kids through college.
They're on their own.
You know, they're on their own. You know, right. I set them up, they're on their own. So a big part of what we do is understanding our client. And we spend a lot of personal time with them.
So there isn't like a cookie cutter solution for anybody. Everything is kind of customized to the individual family.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, there's different types of financial advisors. How do you guys get paid? Are you paid like a retainer? Is it based on percentage of the portfolio? Like how everybody does it differently nowadays.
In the industry, we're known as fee-based, where we can do, a client will come in or a prospect and say, we would like a financial plan. We would spend time with the client like you're spending time with us to get right. to understand their needs, how complex their situation is, and for a flat fee known up front, we will do a sophisticated financial plan to fit their goals right. and objectives. And if in the course of that work they need any financial products, if they want us to manage their investments or they need life insurance, long-term care, or an annuity, we would get paid a commission on that. Mm-hmm. We do very little transaction-based business in terms of buying and selling stocks. But the best way we get compensated is doing a good job for our clients and having them introduce us to people like them mm-hmm. that we can help.
And then, so then are you sitting down, is this an annual meeting or like, can they call you with questions? Because people's lives change, you know, I have a kid in college, you know, when he's not in college, I'm going to have different financial challenges or.
Certainly. We pride ourselves on being available to our clients. One of the ways we differentiate our practice is trying to be easy to work with. We have attorneys tell us, you're the only planners that come to the estate planning meetings with their clients. I go to the Social Security office with our clients. We're open all the time. Mm-hmm. And our clients respect us.
So they're not kind of taking advantage.
No, not at all. But if they pay a fee up front for a plan, where they're a client of ours and we're going to do the best job we can for them.
Now, do you help them kind of navigate the waters in terms of other trusted advisors they would need to have as part of their team in terms of, you know, maybe I need that long-term life insurance or maybe I need, you know, different type of specialist that maybe I don't know?
Sure. That's a good question. We don't do medical type insurance, and that's a big need. When people turn 65, they go on Medicare, and they have a lot of choices as to either supplemental insurance or Medicare Part C, which replaces a lot of the other things. And we have partners, as well as estate planning attorneys and CPAs that we refer clients to.
Now, what's the most rewarding part of your job?
Changing people's lives. We have turned people's lives around.
Like when you say turn their life around, what does that mean? That they didn't have peace of mind before meeting you, and then all of a sudden you're giving them, I know you can't say I help them make X number of dollars, but is it peace of mind has to be kind of the greatest gift you can give these people?
Sure. We had a fellow walk into our office who was making a ton of money, but he had no savings whatsoever. And all of a sudden he woke up at around age 60 and said, I'm in trouble. And he was referred to us and we helped him turn it around. And he's going to be 70 next year and he's in excellent position to retire.
Mm-hmm. So now, in terms of a philosophy, do you have a philosophy or is it kind of customized for each individual?
It is customized, and that's where the risk tolerance of the person is, what their goals and objectives are, how old they are, where they want to get to. I would consider ourselves fairly conservative. If people want to be aggressive, we can show them how to do that. But again, with our clientele being baby boomers, we're in a limited growth income phase, mm-hmm. asset preservation.
So you're not big on cryptocurrencies?
Nope. And you're probably aware cryptocurrencies are kind of in the tank right now, which has set back blockchain, which is an interesting technology, but they're really tied together currently.
Right. So, but if you thought that crypto was good at 20,000, look how good it is at 4,000.
Perhaps. Now, we might talk to a 45 or 35-year-old client about that. Certainly not a 55 or 65-year-old
right. client. So if somebody wanted to learn more about your firm, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Check out our website. And which is www.activefinancialgroup.com.
And then they can find you and get a hold of you,
yes.
contact information all there.
All the contact information is there, email address, cell phone.
And there's probably some good information, just general information there too as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we just launched a new website with a lot of video content and a lot of information for people to ask questions and like that. So that just went up about a month or so ago.
Well, congratulations. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Next up on Office Evolution Radio, we're going to go to you, Dallas. You're in the hot seat.
All right.
I got Dallas Smith with tdallassmith.com. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Dallas, how are you serving folks?
Well, we're helping companies with their financial issues concerning real estate.
Real estate. Commercial real estate,
commercial
right?
Commercial real estate.
You're a specialist in that area?
Exactly.
So how'd you get into that?
Long story short, I didn't know what I really wanted to be when I grew up. So all I knew I wanted to do was make a lot of money. So what I did was I studied what the richest 400 people did. This would have been in 1982. Mm-hmm. And it came down, they primarily did four things, one of four things. They were either in a real estate business, they were in investments, they were in the oil industry, and then technology, the early part of technology.
Right.
I'm from Atlanta. I like to say I'm Atlanta born, Atlanta bred. When I die, I'll be Atlanta dead. So I wanted to stay in Atlanta. And so oil would have taken me to Texas. Investments would have taken me to New York. Technology is just wasn't my personality. So it left me with this thing called real estate. Didn't want to work on weekends. So that knocked out residential. So I backed into finding out about this thing called commercial real estate.
Now, what did you think it was, commercial real estate, when you first got into it?
Yeah, well, I had the good fortune of meeting a guy by the name of Tommy Tift. Tommy is 93 years old now, and he owned a lot of property. In fact, their family owned a ton of the property where the airport sits now.
Good for him.
Oh, yeah.
he's okay.
Well, if you've driven through Tift County, past Tift College, Tifton, that's that family. So that's who brought me into real estate business. And so I had a chance to work with him early on the landlord side. So I was representing office space, industrial space, retail, and land. So I had a chance to really kind of see all the food groups, if you will. And this was the Reagan year. So I got in 1982, I tell people the hardest thing I had to do was get to the bank before 4 o'clock, cash a check. And
because at that time, Atlanta was growing pretty rapidly.
Yeah, everything was growing. Everything was rocking and rolling. And then I went through my first recession in 1987.
Then it wasn't as fun.
And then it wasn't as fun. So I shifted from the landlord side to the tenant side, and that's where I've been ever since.
So you're a tenant rep?
I'm a tenant rep brokerage. T. Dallas Smith & Company, we're the largest African-American tenant rep firm in the country.
Now, the difference is, so when you were working as the landlord, the person comes to you, and you're advocating for the building or owns the—
A particular piece of property.
Right.
Exactly.
And then as the tenant rep, you're advocating for the person that's going to rent.
To any building.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And then so from that side—
And the recession taught me that. So what happened in 1987, you're stuck with one building in a market—
And you're waiting.
And you're waiting. And they're building new buildings, right. Cheaper, better, nicer.
Right.
It's a tough thing to do. And I convinced Mr. Tiff, I said, we need to start a tenant rep firm. And we started a firm called First Brokerage. He put the money behind it. I put all the sweat equity. And that's how we got started.
And then at that time, was that a new concept, being a tenant rep? Or
it was
that
relatively new. I'd say there's a couple of guys in town I'd say really would take credit for being the tenant rep guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that much older than me, but it was a relatively new thing, but it was being well received by the landlords. In fact, even in today's market, this is what I would call Atlanta is clearly a broker town. So 95% of the deals in this town are brokered deals. And so landlords go out of their way to incentivize brokers to bring tenants to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that only bodes well for the clients.
Because now in the case, if I'm a business owner and I just go to a building and knock on the door and say, I want space.
Yes.
They'll do that deal, right? Because
they'll do it all day long.
Right, because I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And then there's a percentage, though, that goes to a broker,
exactly.
Whether I have one or not.
You're absolutely right.
Right?
So I tell people the best way to explain it is if you went into court and the other side had a lawyer and you didn't,
right,
you're in trouble.
Right. No matter how smart you think you are good you are Googling how to do this.
Yeah. You're going to have a problem.
Right.
In fact, one of my favorite stories, I won't name the company. I'll just say it was a client that we represented who happens to be in the real estate business.
They're probably the worst because they think they know.
Exactly. They're real estate developers. And they were trying to do a deal with their friend who they've done some deals with. Long story short, when we came in representing him, and what we always do is create a competitive environment. I know the building that you think you may want to be in, but I want to make sure that you have a plan B and a plan C.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make sure that there's a competitive
and we're
going to
make
business.
Sure everybody knows it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to fight for your business. When we finished this deal with this particular company, we saved his net aggregate was $3 million between the deal that his friend was going to give him and the deal that we got him.
And this is something that it doesn't cost the client anything because it's built into the deal.
It's built in.
So, right. This is like I don't understand why anybody wouldn't do this. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you know, it's funny. So we do deals for large corporations. And if I would tell people, if large corporations who have all the
resources,
five powers and resources
hire
me to do this, what makes you think
you're smarter
that you're going to do something different?
Right.
And the reality of it is this is all I've ever done. And I've done it for 37 years. I've forgotten more deals than deals I've done. So my whole thing now is to make sure that I continue to raise up a company with more people, training them to do what it is that I do.
So now when you're building a firm, so that's a different animal, right? There's one thing of going and getting clients and doing deals. That's a job by itself.
Yes.
But now you're building a company that you want to have a legacy and you want to kind of empower young people to get involved and build a culture. How do you go about doing that? Because that's different.
Well, you know, it's funny. This answer will not be the answer you want, but it really came down to one word, and the issue is exposure. So early on, when I started, you know, in my prayer time, I was like, Lord, you know, help me to get this thing right. And I'd always come away with one word, and the word was always exposure. So I speak a lot around town. I'm on Georgia State's board. I speak to classes at Georgia State, and what happens? People hear about me, and they want to talk to me. You know, I believe cream rises to the top. You just need to expose people to what it is that you do, and those who are interested will find you. And that's what I've done. So now we've got 19 brokers in our shop, and I've never recruited once. And we're 12 years old. So
now are they commission only?
I've been straight commission for 37 years.
So that's a philosophical.
It's just,
right?
I tell people it's like walking a tightrope. You know, you're either going to be focused on the ability to walk across a tightrope and your ability, I'm going to train you to do this, or you're going to focus on the net underneath you. I can guarantee you if you focus on the net underneath you, you will
fall. You're going to find it. You'll find the net.
Yeah, you will find the net.
So now, are young people buying into this commission? The younger generation,
I'm the old guy in the office. So most of our brokers are millennials. I'd say the youngest guy we have is 25 and probably
commission only 25 year old commission.
I tell
only.
People all the time, I was 19 years old when I got into this business and I've been straight commissioned. And it's been a great business for me. I've been all around the world. I've seen a lot of things. I've been in rooms that a kid from Atlanta, who grew up in the neighborhood I grew up, you would never think I'd be in those rooms. But it's commercial real estate that has afforded me that.
So now, how do you onboard a young person? I'm fascinated by your ability to take a millennial and get him fired up about a commission-only world.
I got this lesson from a third grader, okay? So I'm going to tell you what happened. I was probably in my 20s, late 20s. A friend of mine was a principal in an elementary school. over in Eastlake now, which what they used to call Little Vietnam back in the day. And she didn't really warn me, but she said, hey, it's career day. I want you to come and talk to the kids about what you're doing. And I wish I had this little kid's name and number now. But I'm getting ready to explain what it is that I do, and this little kid had his hand up. I'm kind of doing my spiel, but the kid's got his hand up. He's kind of waving. I go, yes, sir. He said, yeah. He said, hey, before you even get started, how much money do you make? So I look over at my friend who's a principal in the class, and I go, what's this? Because I'm not expecting this from a third grade.
Right.
And the kid goes, I can see you're not going to answer that question. So let me just ask you a different question. What kind of car do you drive? So that third grade kid taught me, deal with the money first. You got to talk about the opportunity. You got to talk about, what this thing is. I tell people, when I was at Cushman Wakefield, I happened to be the first black broker Cushman Wakefield hired in Georgia in 1989. They were owned by the Rockefellers at the time. So the MO for Cushman was, if you didn't come from money, you didn't work at Cushman Wakefield. But I tell people, the number two broker at Cushman Wakefield, who was a tenant rep broker, was the owner of the New Jersey Nets. So I lead with that. It's an industry that you just never know that really exists. It's really, as a lot of people describe, as a secret society. But it tends to be family members who are kind of, you're the father, then your son comes into the business, then your son's son is in the business. That's kind of how this business in Atlanta has continued to be.
Right, but it still requires, even if it's a commission-only situation, it doesn't matter if I'm the father, and then my son's going to have to make the calls and build the relationships and convince someone to do this.
Well, what will happen is, Lee, they'll say, you've paid the way for your son. When your son calls, the first thing he says, I'm Lee's son. Then, oh, yeah. There's a leeway in there for him, no pun intended, but there's a way for him to leverage your name. And that's continued to happen over the years. And I'm talking about people who make 7-8 figures. These are, again, names that if I named them, you would never even know them. If you were in the room with them, you wouldn't know these guys have made this kind of money over the years. And this is just, it's incumbent upon me to, because it's been such a good business to me, to help bring people who look like me, because that's the other thing. It's 98% white male who do what I do. So I mean, it's light on people of color, and it's light on females as well. So I like to believe that one of the things, before they put me in the box, I want to help create an environment where I help to diversify this industry. And so that's what I'm really focused on. And so when people kind of hear what I do, we do work for AT&T nationally, we do work for FedEx nationally, for Chase, for Microsoft. I mean, we work with big companies. And it didn't happen overnight. I mean, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. But I explain this to these young guys, and believe it or not, a lot of these millennials have some old souls. So, they've been raised, they've seen their parents, some of the parents lose a home. I think a lot of times we don't give these millennials, I think they're battle tested, if you will. They've seen, their parents lose houses, who worked their entire lives, and they're really about experiences now, if I'm going to lose everything, hell, at least I'm going to go out and have my $15 latte today. But I can appreciate that, although I think they're also very serious now, to your point earlier, your early guess about getting serious about the long term. How do I weather this storm and not put all my eggs in one basket?
So now, what's your feeling about the market here in Atlanta? Are you bullish still with Atlanta? I mean, you've seen ups and downs.
Well, it's funny. From a tenant rep perspective, down markets are great markets for us. It's been a good market for us, but if it's a down market, it's going to be even better. This is the first bull market I've been in for quite a while as it relates to tenant rep. When it's a bad market, it's kind of like if you could buy a house in 2010, 2011, you're going to get a good price on that house. You're going to get a $500,000 house for $200,000. Same thing for tenant rep. When the market goes bad, we go back in, and you may have a 10-year lease in this building at a rate that you got in 2019. Market goes down, we'll come back in and adjust.
Renegotiate?
That rate. Yes.
So that's part of your service?
We'll, all day, every day. Yeah.
And everything's negotiable?
Everything's negotiable. Just don't get crazy. I mean, I have clients who say, if somebody says to you, I like, I have $10,000 and I'd like to live on West Paces Ferry. That's not going to happen.
Well, so, for a day, you can live there.
Yeah, maybe for a day. So, you know, you got to speak some truth to, okay, well, let me explain to you what you just described.
Right.
Here's your budget. This is what you get for that. And this is kind of where we are. We can get you something close to this, but not that.
So now, how do you leverage the relationships to work with these national firms?
You know, it's funny. You got to do the work. You got to do the work. I tell people all the time, one of the things about the larger companies who we typically compete against, a lot of times you can, I hate to say it this way, but a lot of times you can get big and you can get lazy. You know, I'm just the incumbent and, you know.
I just have to show up. And
I just have to show up and send me my check. But at some point, if somebody else comes in, smaller group, who every deal, you know, their life depends on every deal, you're just going to get a different product that's just going to come out. And clients go, okay, Dallas, can I talk to you? I mean, we've taken business away from the largest brokerage firms in the country. And as I would clearly say, it's just we're very intentional about what we do. And we also know that the market has shifted. I used to be what we would call a geography broker, right? So I was the airport guy. So if you wanted to do work and do office space in the airport, you called me. That was where TIFF's properties were. And then I shifted downtown. I was the downtown guy. Well, now, technology, I didn't know where I was coming here. I plugged in the address. It brought me here, right? So technology now has leveled the field from a geography standpoint. You remember the rally? It was a Rally McNann, the big books that you'd have to have. Rand McNally.
Rand McNally,
yeah.
Right.
You'd have a book like this, you know, and you're going to go to Florida and you're flipping all these pages, you know. Well, the evolution has changed. And the same thing from a geography standpoint. What I always say, I've done more real estate deals than I can remember. You can parachute me into any market, and I can do a better deal than the guy who grew up in that market. It's primarily because of the breadth of deals that I've done over the years. So in geography, technology will equalize everything.
And then you're saying that because you've done so many deals, you know where kind of the opportunities lie in a deal that maybe a person who might live there, they may not understand kind of the nuance that you understand.
And the bigger the deals, the easier the deals. So I'll give you, for instance, our president, respect, and he's a real estate developer. The core of who he is a real estate developer.
Right.
And if you know anything about real estate developers, the bigger the building tends to be, the bigger the egos. I mean, it comes along with the market. So if you know this, you've got that competitive situation. You're putting in a guy in a market who does not like to lose. And I've seen guys who will, you know, cut their margins down
to
substantially to win. And so it's our job to know who those players are and where do you squeeze.
Mm-hmm. And then, so when you're training the young people who don't have that kind of breadth of knowledge, are you kind of coaching them? How much of your job is coaching them up and putting them in the right position to succeed?
We're purely an apprentice-based program.
So coaching is part of the DNA.
It's part of the DNA. It's what I have to do. It's how I learned. I've had some great mentors with, you know, Tommy Tift, and I left there. I went to Cushman & Wakefield, and then I worked for Herman Russell, who was H.J. Russell & Company, mm-hmm. who was a guy who created a company from nothing, grew up in Jim Crow, Georgia, a black man with a speech impediment who grew a company from nothing to about $500 million company. And it was really more of what I would almost say a reversed apprentice. You know, you mess up, and then you find out, you did what?
Training by scar tissue.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, and life has a way of teaching you lessons that, you know, no classroom can ever teach. Yeah.
So now, right now, the market is good.
It's good.
And you feel good the next few years?
I feel good. I think it'll continue to be strong. Waiting to see, get through this 2018 tax year for mm-hmm. 2019 to see where everything's really shake out. Because there's been some banks starting to kind of pause a little bit on lending for some commercial deals. For me, I think that's a little bit of a canary in a coal mine. But again, I hope if that is a problem, again, that's a good problem for my clients.
Now, are you seeing, we've talked about blockchain for a minute, are you seeing any transactions utilizing blockchain technology?
I have not. But it's early on. We're early into our relationship with Microsoft, if we see anything. Because the other thing, I'm excited just to have them as a client, but it's a whole other thing to see these guys do what they do. Mm-hmm. And they're cutting edge and ahead of a whole lot of people. So get back with me, Lee, in a year.
And right now you said that you don't have to recruit talent. It seems that talent kind of is drawn to you. If people are interested, you'll always take talent, right? That door is never closed.
I have an open door policy. and primarily the reason is it was very hard for me to get into the business. And I'm trying to create an atmosphere that I wish had existed in 1982, where I could just pick up the phone and call. So I tell people all the time, you can reach out and, you know, just my email address is dallas@tdallasmith.com. You can reach me there or on LinkedIn. I'm just T. Dallas Smith. It's an open door policy. I probably meet with 2 to 3 people a week, strangers that I don't know from anywhere who found out about me, want to talk about Dallas. I'm thinking about commercial real estate. And I take that time to do it.
And then, again, but they have to reach out.
They have to reach out. Again, it's part of the cream rises to the top, right?
Who wants it more?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about your firm, get a hold of you, maybe they're in the mood to move, or their lease is up or almost up.
Yeah.
What's the coordinates?
I would tell them, you know, feel free to reach out to me directly. I still use a phone. I still use a phone. It's and my direct number is 404-665-8400. 404-665-8400. Our website is tdallassmith.com. And again, reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
All right, hang in there. One more guest. Next up on Office Evolution Radio, I'm going to screw this up. I'm going to do the best I can. I apologize in advance. Narinya Kanantul.
Common Tool.
See, I knew I'd screwed up. Sorry about that.
You were close.
And you are with U.S. Health Advisors. Welcome.
Thank you.
Did you learn anything so far?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
How's your real estate situation? Looking for new offices? I got a guy. He used to be the downtown guy, but now I'm sure he'll go wherever you are.
Absolutely.
You're good with office space?
Yes, we are.
All right.
We recently just expanded, actually.
All right. Well, you should have called him.
We'll keep in mind for the next one.
So tell us about your work as a health advisor.
So basically, I'm a licensed agent, and I'm able to access all plan options available to every individual in this state. I'm actually licensed in 18 different states. So the specialty, what I do is I help people, individuals, families, find incredible health options that's not an ACA compliant. And typically, you know, the ones that don't have exposure to group plans. So they're not aware that there are so many other options, so many other availability. And that's where I come in and really just educate them and let them know what all the options are and help them narrow down the best thing that's going to be the best fit for them.
So now, is this person an independent contractor typically, or maybe somebody who has multiple jobs that doesn't have insurance through their work?
It's a wide array, but small businesses, ideally 10 or less, families or individuals, 1099s, you know, people that's experiencing life-changing events. Usually that's when the thought of insurance and health coverage kind of comes to mind.
So like if they work somewhere, they got laid off.
Yes.
And then now they're like scrambling.
Exactly. In between jobs, company is transitioning, don't like the coverage, or typically whether you have a group plan or an individual coverage, you know, there's rate increases every year. So cost is a huge factor in why people shop around and want other options. You know, just being able to let them know that you don't always have to settle what, you know, the first thing comes knocking or the first thing you Googled, which is sometimes a nightmare going online to get a quote, because that's when your phone line is going to get bombarded and hundreds and thousands of calls. I mean, I myself was that individual, years ago, and I have coverage, I still get flooded with calls. So
it's one of those things that's kind of a trap that on the internet, if you Google health insurance and I go to some website, it's now I'm opening the floodgates.
Absolutely.
My number is being sold to
absolutely
50 different
yes
advisors.
I hate to say that, and it shouldn't happen that way. But a lot of times, you know, you could be answering a survey, taking a quiz, and it's like an ad that popped up. Next thing you know, you got a call, and you know they're asking you if you need a quote. You know, what coverage do you have? So could be an array of things. But you know, with us, we're not something you Google online to find to get a quote. It's something we sell directly through with our company, and we're live agents. You know, available at any time. And able to access directly our personal lines and personal pages.
So now, how do people find you? Are you going to educating people through like networking groups? Or?
Yes, that's a huge market of what we do. You know, diversification obviously is a key. I mean, there's leads all the time, but networking is key. Chambers, different events, joining close group referral type networking organizations, hobbies, like interests, social media.
So you're on social media a
yes,
lot?
Yes. Actually, it's been very beneficial.
So you go on and you're just educating people about insurance?
Yes. You know, you just kind of find like common like-minded people, same hobbies, interests, moms, people that are, you know, entrepreneurs that's in the Atlanta metro area. You can meet up and just, you know, do quick one-on-ones or do a phone conversation. Hey, how can I be viable to you? Like, what do you do in your industry? It could be something similar. Maybe they can sell something that I can't offer, vice versa. And we can, you know, be the A through Z step to each other.
Now, how'd you get into this line of work?
The opportunity just came knocking, actually. My background is in retail management. I became a new mother, so that quickly had to transition my availability and schedule. Being a mom is my number one priority. So with the opportunity to come knocking, I, you know, gave it a shot, went in for a presentation. It's still selling and it's a great product. I actually became a client before I even became an agent. So, you know, I speak the truth and personal testimonials and, you know, and all my clients that I share these stories with, that's how I build that connection and that relationship, because I'm not telling someone else's story. I was too in corporate
right,
America.
You lived it.
I lived it, been there, done that, life-changing events. Thank goodness we haven't had the worst case, the worst day of our life occur. But if that does, I understand my policy. I know how it works. I know how to use it. And that's what I translate to my clients, because you know, you just got to keep it simple. It can be really overwhelming and complicated.
Now, do you specialize in certain demographics? Do you work a lot? You mentioned moms a lot. Do you work a lot with moms?
I do. You know, that's usually the first thing, you know, you talk about your kids. you know, anyone from 18 to before Medicare, 63 and a half, around that area when they start to plan.
And then you mentioned small businesses. How do you get on the radar of these small businesses?
Chambers.
Oh, you work
chambers,
a lot with chambers.
You can go to the county website and see who recently got their business license. You know, just really be build that connection. You know, we mentioned cold calling earlier. I do cold walking sometimes.
So you go knocking on.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, that's really the best way. You know, you show up.
Yeah, there's no shortcut.
Yes.
You got to grind and hustle. That's
yes.
the way it works.
You know, the way we do things nowadays, so many things are digital. So a lot of times you don't get that one-on-one, that personal connection, that shaking their hand, actually getting that, that rapport built, that connection. So I do that too. Yeah. Whatever, it is that they require. Sometimes, you know, it could be a referral. They actually live a little bit further away. I don't mind. You know, scheduling a time that can fit both of our schedules and go out to have lunch, do coffee, whatever is convenient for them, to get them to understand where their current situation is. And if they're in the most cost-effective situation, or, you know, long term, to be financially secure.
Now, what's been the most rewarding part of your work so far? Have you been able to help some families?
Yes. That's really, I think, where I really personally connect with families that are business owners. I grew up in the restaurant industry, so I know how that's like. And a lot of times you work, and you're so invested in building your business, you kind of put yourself in the back burner. And you work so many hours. There's no sit-down time. There's no vacations. Next thing you know, something hits you at 50 years old. You had a stroke. You can't move and been healthy your whole entire life. So it's really just building that financial security for families that work hard to provide for their children. I think that's kind of like the American dream, that, you know, we want our kids to be set and secured and not have to worry about, you know, if situations occur, are they going to be okay? Can they take care of themselves? You know, most recent study has shown that the biggest reason people bankrupt is due to medical expenses and, you know, bills from hospitals. And that about 62% is what they bankrupt in. And out of that, almost 80% have health coverage. They just didn't have the right kind. The right kind. So that's another thing too. You know, it's really just keeping it simple, not to overwhelm people with decisions, because I think that's when you lose your momentum and lose how you can be, you know, that person that can actually help them versus trying to sell them something.
And then part of your work is to educate them.
Yes.
And then is this something they should kind of re-educate themselves every year? Or?
Yes, absolutely. There's so many laws and regulations, you know, small business owners or 1099s, entrepreneurs, how you ever want to classify. But, you know, if you don't have health coverage for X amount of months, you know, there's a penalty. You know, do you qualify for an exemption? You know, there's things like that people are worried for. So a lot of times they sign up just to avoid a penalty, but don't know the ins and outs of, you know, correctly approaching the situation. So that way they're actually investing in health coverage and can use it and won't get a penalty, you know. So there are things that's changing every year with, you know, health coverage, different companies pulling out in each state. What are other options, HMOs versus PPO? What's the difference? What are the pros and cons of each?
And then you sit down with your clients and kind of walk them through for them individually, what's the best solution for them?
Yes. Yes. I actually enjoy that. It's not a long drawn process. You know, typically I think immediately everyone can say that, you know, the first three reasons or the top reasons why what they feel is valuable in healthcare. Could be cost, could be the doctors they like to keep. It could be, you know, the fact that it's expensive or there's a huge deductible. They never use it, but they're paying for it. So we have something for individuals like that too. I'm healthy. I don't go to the doctor. Perfect candidate.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I answer my phone directly, 404-771-5800. Or you can find me on Facebook, U.S. Health Advisors -Narinya Kamintul.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And thanks to all the guests today. This is Lee Cantor for Sanjay Touré. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.